Good morning. I'm just going to start out and jump right into it. We just got done a series on heroes and things that godly people do and should be doing. I hope that's an encouragement. I just love the song. We just got to remember why we're here. And that's kind of where I want to go today a little bit. Let me pray before we get started. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the absolute truth that we've heard in these songs, the word of God in these songs. I thank you that you give us messages and you speak to us through all kinds of ways. And right now, Lord, I'm just asking that Satan, we are treading on his territory today. I just command him, the demonic forces, to leave this place, literally to leave our hearts for this next bit of time that we can hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Through my words or just through the Holy Spirit himself, God, please speak to us and just break the chains that bind this area of our life and let us glimpse the Holy Spirit and truth and maybe start another little change in our life. You're an amazing God. Thank you. Amen. All right, looking forward to where we're going just the next couple of weeks. I want to. Now you gotta answer me quickly. I'm going to ask you a question that I want answered quickly. You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to think in your mind the answer to this question. But don't change it later on. Okay. All right. It's okay. I won't have you stand up and say it in front of everybody or whatever. But what comes to your mind first, when I say treasure, don't overthink it, okay? What comes to your mind first when I say treasure? Anybody want to tell me what? It's not right or wrong. What's that? Pirates. Aye, matey. Yeah, so we got pirates. What else comes? How many people thought pirates? How many people think gold? Oh, what else? What? Don't be making them up now, though. It had to come to your mind a minute ago. Money. What else? What? Money. Anybody think money? Okay. What else?
Family.
Family. Anybody think family? Oh, yeah. You just don't want to see. Yeah. All right. So some people think down good paths, and some people think down other paths and stuff. It's not 12 o'clock. I need a watch then. I was going to say, I got all kinds of time. Hey, you can set this while I think about this. Set that for me. All right. I had to get a clock on here because I tend to go long. All right. I'm just going to keep talking while you do that. Do you want to interview me too? Roland, you did a great job. How many of you guys have seen Roland around before? All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. And she has all kinds of stuff more she wants to say. But you take time a little bit later on, talk to her about all that kind of stuff. It's what I want to do. A lot of times we think, specifically when we think treasure, we think gold, we think silver, we think money. Some people think family, okay? But, you know, I think that. Was that the first thought that came to your mind? Wow, that's incredible. All right. Most of us weren't that right, were we? We were thinking more down a different path. Oh, good, 8:30. I got all kinds of time. Just kidding. Oh man. When we look at it, when I was looking at it, I'm thinking there's two kinds of treasures in this world, and we're going to talk about them. There's worldly treasures, and there's godly treasures. And I want to kind of try to. I'm going to take you down a path that you all know and say you're going to be tempted to turn it off for the next 2 weeks or so, but I really want you to think specifically about this. Worldly treasures. I want to look quickly at worldly treasures because we don't need a lot of teaching on worldly treasures, but there's three passages of Scripture that I want to read. They're long passages. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I'm going to read 1 and then 4 to 11. And this is Solomon's look, a very, very wise man's look at treasures, that the way most people in this world think. So it's worldly treasures. Ecclesiastes 2. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. And see, I think that's a word that's synonymous with a lot of people's treasures. Because it's not always gold, but it's pleasures, all right? So, come now, I'll test you, he's talking to himself, I'll test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Verse 4, I undertook great projects. Now listen to the things he treasured here. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards for myself. That's gardening to you guys that garden. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anybody in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing. I desired myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. He's talking, you talk about pleasures and treasures on earth. This guy was wealthy. He could do anything he wanted. And so he sought after all these treasures. My heart took delight in my labor. This was a reward for my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. It's kind of like you feel bad for him a little bit in there, although serves him right, but you feel bad for him in there because he was chasing after what, I mean, if you really look at that, I have all kinds of things underlined, all these things that, the houses and the land and all these things that he thought was going to satisfy. When he got to the end of his life, he just said it was meaningless. You ever hear anybody say that? At the end of their life, I've heard people say that. The things I made and the money I spent, it doesn't do me any good. It's like diminishing returns. It's once we're satisfied, I once was satisfied, but no longer. Remember your first BB gun? Awesome. Your brother's saying, not so awesome, awesome. It was really cool. But after a while, the BB gun wasn't enough. You needed the .22, then you needed the shotgun, and then you needed the, and you end up with the ARs, and now you want a 50 cal, and stuff like that. Everything we chase after that's worldly, it doesn't satisfy. I'm not saying they're all bad, but it doesn't satisfy. The TV, remember the first color TV I ever saw when we got one? It's like, wow, awesome. It was that big, or maybe it was this big and wider than it was, but after a while, it's not big enough. You want bigger and then, bigger and bigger and bigger on your wall. And I think he came to an interesting thing that everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. When he looked back on it, it just didn't satisfy. I like this one. And I think another word, as we're reading through here, another word, sorry, this keeps, something's poking me. This keeps, another word, that was for some of you who know, anyway, but another word for worldly treasures that I'm going to intermix with it is temporary pleasures, temporary. A lot of things that we chase after in this world are temporary. Here's another one, Job 20. I've read it before, but this is really cool. Job 20, 4-22, a long thing. I love the way it says it. Surely you know how it has been from of old, ever since mankind was placed on the earth, that the mirth or the joy, the excitement of the wicked is brief. The joy of the godless lasts but a moment. Though the pride of the godless person reaches to the heaven and his head touches the cloud, he will perish forever like his own dung. I think that's pretty cool. It's like, it just says it in a different way than you're used to in the Word of God, It's like, but that describes it, Those who have seen him will say, where is he? This is after he dies. Like a dream, he flies away, no more to be found, banished like a vision in the night. The eyes that saw him will not see him again. His place will look on him no more, his house and stuff. His children must make amends for the poor. His own hands must give back his wealth. The youthful vigor that filled his bones will lie with him in the dust. Though evil was sweet in his mouth and he hides it under his tongue, though he cannot bear to let it go, and lets it linger in his mouth, yet his food will turn sour in his stomach. It will become the venom of serpents within him. He will spit out the riches he has swallowed. God will make his stomach vomit them up. He will suck the poison of serpents. The fangs of an adder will kill him. He will not enjoy the streams and the rivers flowing with honey and cream. What he toiled for, he must give back uneaten. He will not enjoy the profit from his trading, for he has oppressed the poor and left them destitute. He has seized houses he did not build. Surely he will have no respite from his cravings. He cannot save himself by his treasure. Nothing is left over for him to devour. His prosperity will not endure. In the midst of his plenty, distress will overtake him, and the full force of misery will kind of come upon him. It's just talking about the things that we seek after, those temporary pleasures. They need to be more and more and more. And after a while, sometimes it seems like now we have the money to seek after treasures, but we don't have the health to do it. We don't have the body to do it, the mind to do it. I think to sum it all up, Isaiah says in 44:9, all who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless, and those who would speak up for them are blind, they are ignorant to their own shame. Temporary pleasures, they're treasures that we crave. And if we try to defend them and say it's okay to crave this pleasure, we speak out of not knowing truth. We speak to our own shame. It shows we're ignorant. The things that this world offers, the temporary treasures. Now, understand, I'm not saying money is wrong. We'll get that. But when we seek after, when we treasure something that's worldly, like I gotta have it, I need it, I'm seeking after it, and my life is about it, even though we wouldn't say our life is about it, these things are temporary and they will just let us down every single time. So we're talking about idols of the heart or whatever our heart treasures. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Is there any godly treasures in this world? Are there godly treasures in this world? Are there treasures that God would want us to have? And what would they be? Okay. And just put another word there. Worldly treasures, we say, are what? What's the word? Starts with a T, ends with an emperory. Temporary. Okay. The treasures we see that the world has to offer, they're all, good or bad, they're all temporary. The treasures God has to offer are what? What's another word for that? Eternal. And so we're looking at temporary treasures versus eternal treasures. Which one would you rather have? Eternal treasures. All right. Well, let's see what they are first. All right. Proverbs 15:6 says, I like this, the house of the righteous contain great treasures, but the income of the wicked bring ruin. The house of the righteous contain great treasures. There are great treasures to be had by righteous, godly people. There are eternal treasures, and the house of a righteous has piles of these in them. So let's go through a couple of these. So what kind of things does God treasure? Okay, treasures more valuable than pleasures we're talking about. Treasures that are eternal. Proverbs 2:1-5. See if you can catch any of these. Let me know if you do, or when we're done. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. What are some of the treasures that God speaks about? They're eternal treasures. There were four of them in there. What? I hear wisdom. Understanding. Storing up my commands. Yeah, I only saw three. It didn't count. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, what else? What, two more. Insight, understanding. Try taking these to the bank someday. Cashing them in. Okay? And if you look for it as for silver, if you search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Two more. The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. These are treasures that are eternal. That they will go with you. They will not end. They cannot be taken away depending on the stock market or circumstances or health or anything. These are godly treasures. Isaiah 34:5-6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. Are there two more in there? Ooh, that's a tough one. Justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of wisdom, of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. What's that treasure? Salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Now, we don't often think of these things as treasure. We think of gold. Even family is a temporary treasure. It's a good one. It's not a wrong one, but it's a temporary treasure. We're talking about treasures that will last forever. Ezekiel 7:22. I will turn my... Here's something that God treasures. It's an interesting thing. God says, I will turn my face away from the people, and robbers will desecrate the place I treasure. They will enter it and defile it. What's that talking about? God says, I will turn my face away from the people, and robbers will desecrate the place I treasure. They will enter it and will defile it. The place of worship, the house of God, the temple God is talking about here. God treasures the temple, the place where he dwells. This is Old Testament. We don't have the temple anymore. This is just an old scratch and dent grocery store, from a truck thing to a banquet hall. But what does God treasure? What is the temple of the Holy Spirit now? Our hearts, our lives. God treasures us. He treasures the place where he lives. And I think it has a lot to do with church also, although it's not the building. God treasures this place. 1 Timothy 4:8, I don't have it on my notes here, but it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So it's comparing physical training. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And every one of these godly eternal pleasures give value in this life, but even more value, and they even increase in value in the life to come. Godliness is eternal. So how important is it that we search for godly treasure? How important is it that we search for godly treasure? I'll just give you a little example how God feels, how we should be searching for eternal godly pleasure, or not pleasure, godly treasure. Matthew 13:44-46. He says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Okay, love it, like a treasure. Anybody like treasure? Is it just me? Come on. Okay, I see like 8 people. What's wrong with the rest of you guys? I like treasure, all right? I would have loved to have been a nice pirate, all right? But the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything, and bought it. This still says 909. I'm thinking this morning is going slow. I've been up here for almost a minute already. I can see that back there good enough this morning. Anyway, I think God says, listen, the average person, if they find a treasure, you're going to do it. And I got to admit, I fall susceptible to treasures, all right? Way back when we lived in Mountville down in Lancaster County, we had an old farmhouse, an old brick farmhouse, and I was sure there used to be a well right outside the basement wall. And, you know, if you're a treasure hunter, a well, old wells that are filled in are great places to find bottles and all kinds of stuff. Did you help me on that? Oh, this is just me? Yeah, so I went down there and dug out some of the stone walls on our foundation, some of the stones, and pulled them out and tried to dig back in to find where that, because there was a big cement pad poured on top of it. But I tore my basement apart trying to find treasure, okay? It's like, it just would have been really cool to do that. So a lot of you guys know treasure. If I was, okay, worldly treasure compared to godly treasure. If I were to tell you, if I was awesome, and were to tell you that right now there's a treasure hidden in this room, okay? And the first one that finds it can have it, what would you do? You know? Huh? You'd look for it, okay? If I was to tell you that there's a 1 ounce piece of pure silver taped to the bottom of your chair, what would you do? Just sit there and... There is. First one that finds it can have it. A 1 ounce piece of silver taped to the bottom of one person's chair in here. If the people around you aren't looking, you're welcome to look and get their piece of silver. I wouldn't just sit there. You think I'm kidding? Don't be too proud. Somebody's going to have a 1 ounce piece of silver in their hand in just a few moments. Oh, it's found over here by Mr. Martin. 99.9 or 99.99% pure. Way to go, Todd. It's yours. All right. You know what? I would think if I was sitting there, I'd be on everybody's chair. Okay? I'm telling you what. We love treasure. We are people that love treasure. We love worldly pleasure. Even if we don't want to admit it in a setting like this, we enjoy pleasure, some kind of the temporary pleasures that the world gives us, but more important than that is godly treasure. Honestly, I kind of think we're more motivated to look for worldly treasure than we are godly treasure as church people. I think the idea of maybe there's a treasure outside my house might be more enjoyable than, wow, I want to tear my basement apart to find some godly treasure. How motivated are we to find godly treasure? To try to accumulate the things that God says have value in this life and the next life. That's not as exciting because one was gold and money and silver and pleasures and the other one is godliness and wisdom and these kind of things. One of them is tangible normally. It's a life kind of thing on this earth. I want to tell you what. Here's the main problem with worldly treasure. And don't think that God doesn't want us to have any worldly pleasures at all. And don't think that it's wrong to have money and to have worldly treasures. Here's the main problem with worldly treasures. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And it's not so much the earthly treasures go away. It's not the point. The problem is not the earthly treasures can disappear. The problem is not that we can't take it with us. Here's the problem. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the problem in that passage. Not that we have treasures, not the treasures that get eaten and taken away and we lose. They're not bad because they're temporary. They're bad because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we treasure something in our hearts, it motivates our minds to think about that desire. When we treasure something in our heart, we are motivated to think about that treasure. And that motivates and or inspires our actions and our lifestyle choices and our life. It directs the courses of our life. When we desire a treasure in our heart, it changes the way we think and it motivates the course of our life and it sets the course of our life. And the little statement I put up here, and sometimes you hear this a little bit different, what our hearts love, our minds think about. And Vicki and I kind of go back and forth when we teach what my mind thinks about, my heart loves, but we're going from the heart this time. What our hearts love, our minds think about. What treasures our hearts desires, what we treasure in our heart motivates our thinking. Is it pleasures? Is it more of what can give us pleasure? Or is it more of what stores up eternity, eternal things? What our hearts love, our minds think about. What our minds think about, our body does. And here's a sad example of that. The rich young ruler in Mark 10, 21 to 23. And I know you guys all know this is not a unknown passage. He comes to Jesus and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you got to keep the law. He said, I've kept all the law. So, but there's still something missing. What do I have to do to eternal life? Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now understand, when you first hear this, it feels like and sounds like God is saying rich people can't go to heaven. And rich people can't be saved. And if that's the way we feel, we're missing the total point of the whole passage, you know? So is poverty a godly treasure? If you sell everything you have and give everything away, do you become more godly? Is that a treasure that God treasures? No, I don't think so at all. See, what the problem is, there was a heart issue in that man. That he was willing to hold on to his earthly temporary stuff at the point of going and entering into eternity. He basically said, God, I'll hold on to my stuff instead of entering eternal life. I will not give up my stuff. And he went away sad. And the problem was that he didn't get poor. The problem was it was a treasure that his heart treasured. And it set the course of his life. And his life choice was, I choose temporary stuff more than godly stuff. The Bible says what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Luke 6:45. Listen to a couple of these verses. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You see, we're going to take a look. We're not going to stop with money and gold and silver. We're going to go beneath that to the real issue. Is not how much do you have or how much don't you have. The real issue is, what is your heart desiring? When it comes to treasures, what do you treasure in your heart? Mark 7:20-23. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside and defile a person. See, God doesn't look at the outside. He doesn't look at how much money you have. He looks at, what is your heart telling me? What do I see in your heart? And that's the scary thing about God. He can look past our external stuff and our external giving, and he looks right at the heart. Why do you give? I want to see what's in your heart. Are you giving that amount of money so people will notice you and put your name on something? Well, that shows some pleasure. That shows possibly something's a little askew in there. It's not about how much money. It's not I gave everything away so God's happy with me. No, God's still looking at the heart issues. I want to tell you what. When we're looking at treasures of the heart, it's so easy to see other people, what they treasure, isn't it? I know. I've talked to people and went away and said, well, they're all about themselves, you know? Or someone gives something and say, I just want you to know, I gave this much money to somebody, you know. It's obvious what their heart is. At least it comes across to me that way. People that have friends that are just their little posse that builds them up all the time, it's easy to see what their treasure is. It's easy to see what the treasures are in our children's heart, isn't it? What our children's heart treasure. It's easy to see the wrongness in that. But what about the wrongness in our heart? What about the what we're living for? See, understand, God is awesome. He's not motivated by what we do externally, although he appreciates some of those things, but he's more motivated by what is on a believer's heart. What are you living for? You living for pleasures? You living for all these things up here? Or you have some of those pleasures and have some of those treasures, but when I look at your heart, I see faith. I see godliness. I see wisdom being developed. I see pure motives for why you do what you do. See, the problem with money and pleasures is not that they're wrong, it's the place in the heart that they take. When you challenge your kids to go to college, what is your motivation for the college that you send them to? It's just like, there's all kinds of examples, but the problem is, it's the priority, the place in our hearts that treasures take. It doesn't matter if you have money. It doesn't matter if you have a silver piece. What place does that take in our hearts? That's what God looks at. 1 Timothy, listen to this, 1 Timothy 6:6-10. Now, here's eternal treasure, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I like that first passage. Godliness, that's a right heart, with contentment of the worldly treasures. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Godliness and having worldly treasures to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. We have to understand we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. They're temporary treasures. But if we had food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now here's the problem. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. But here's the problem. For the love of money, the love of temporary pleasures, the love of those things money gives, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money that love temporary pleasures have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And we see this when kids go to college. We see this when they get into junior high. We see this when you get into a job. We see this when we don't want to make waves. We see this throughout our life and the choices that we take and the course that our life takes. If we're honest, we look at it. And we see, I love the recognition. I love the power. I love the position. Not, I have it. I'm going to use it wisely. I really want this, and I will sacrifice for the power. I will sacrifice for the position. I will sacrifice to be an athlete. I will do all this other kind of stuff. None of that's wrong. It's the love of these things. For the love of money, and forget money because we always hear that in there, the love of temporary pleasures is the root of all kinds of evil. When we love temporary pleasures and we're willing to sacrifice them rather than sacrificing for godly treasures. When's the last time you ever sacrificed for a godly treasure or sought after a godly treasure like you would look for something in a field, like you would look for a hidden thing of gold in your backyard? I have looked for that in my yard too. I love this last sentence. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, when you wander away from the faith, when you start to treasure, okay, wandering away from the faith is when you start to treasure things other than godliness. When your heart treasures, because from your heart, your mouth speaks and your life starts to be, the course of your life slowly changes. I have experienced that a little bit when I turned 60. All of a sudden I get all these, you're about to retire calls. Financial advisor says, you know what? I don't think you have enough money for retirement. It's like, oh, what are we going to do, Vicky? Yeah. I'd never worried about that ever before. And it took me through a couple months of like kind of turmoil till it's like, come on, God will take care of us then. We've done what we could do the rest of our life. I'm content with what I have. And when I tell them that, oh, you shouldn't be content, you know, it's like, come on, I'm content in that area of my life. When we start to wander from the faith, we pierce ourselves with many griefs. And if you start to desire things, temporary things of this world, you lose fortunes. Oh, just one more investment in the stock market. Sure bet in this thing. And then 40% of your retirement is gone overnight, you know? And we start gambling maybe. Well, I just need more. I'll take some of this money that we have and we'll gamble with it. Eager for money takes sometimes lost the children. We lose our children. And you get to a point in your life and your children are gone and you have the cats in the cradle song, you know. And all of a sudden, they don't even want to see you anymore because you were all about working this job and that job and that job to get this money, to make all this money. But we have to, yes, because we bought a house at the far reaches of our limit. So we both have to work and we've got to do this and we've got to make money. And your kids watch this and what are we teaching our children? And we lose them. Then we lose the relationship. Lost relationships. Lost respect. Lost positions when we're looking for more. And we're just not content with what we have. We want more because my heart treasures something. Doesn't mean you can't be promoted. Doesn't mean you can't have money. We're looking at the heart issues. When we run after worldly pleasures at the expense of godly treasures, we're at great risk. We're at great risk. Sometimes we seem like we spend the best part of our energy every day, every week, every year. When we look back in our life, we spend the best part of our energy on things that will die or be left behind. Vicky, in the spring, puts a sign in our house, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but my something will endure forever, that the Word of God endures forever. Just as a reminder, because she could, that's why she reminds herself. And I think we need to remind ourselves of the things that we're really working for and living for, the things we really encourage our children to pursue, are usually temporary pleasures. They're not all wrong. It's to the extent of how we teach them to pursue that. It's what it does in our heart, what it means in our hearts. I just kind of finish with this couple things here. If I live for today instead of eternity, I live differently than if I live for eternity instead of today. If I live for today instead of eternity, it's going to be a much different life if I live for eternity instead of today. And how many times do we as believers live for eternity? Where is that in our mind? It's so easy to get caught up in this pleasure and this money and that money and making a little bit more, buying a little something nicer and this and this and this and this. And we just get trapped into, and it's Satan's trap, we get trapped into living for today and the pressures of today and what will get me ahead today, what will give me a little bit more, what will make me and my family a little bit happier. And when's the last time we ever put that same energy towards living for eternity? What will make my family's eternity better? What can I live for that will inspire my children to live for this and even more for godly things? Question that I want to end on. Let me read it. Which one of these things do you treasure the most? Honestly, temporary or eternal pleasures? Which one? You can answer that question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but you can. That's not a hard question to answer. There's a couple places you can find that answer. One, you can find it in your thinking. You can find that in your thinking. What do you think most about? What do you think most is about? What do you think is important for your children's future? Good job, good pay. It's temporary. Nothing wrong with a good job or a good pay. Or do you think eternal things for them? It'll show up in your thinking about what's important to you. It'll show up in your banking. All kinds of ways it can show up in your banking. I'm not even talking about giving. That's next. It can show up in your giving. But in your banking, where does your money go? Just look at, track your money. You'll see what's important to you and what you're living for. It'll show up in your lifestyle. Where do you spend your most time? What do you have time to do and what do you have time not to do? See, this is where I've been really honestly looking at this in my life this week, and I didn't like everything I saw. And why? Well, God sees our heart. Why can't we see our hearts like Him? It doesn't mean you have to quit and go to the mission field and get eaten by a cannibal. Over in the Philippines? You don't eat people over there, do you? I knew that. But what's the hard part about answering these questions? Just look at your banking. Look at your priorities. Look at the choices you make. Look at who you date. If you're married and still dating someone else, You have the wrong priorities. I'll just tell you that right there. You are living for worldly. You're not allowed to have a harem with 900 and some people, like, and he wasn't allowed to either. But who are you dating? Who are you attracted to? Who are you attracted to? You know what? If your heart craved godliness, you would look at ungodly people as dating matches and think, you got to be kidding me. So we make compromises in that. Which one of these do you parent from? Temporary or eternal? Which base do you parent from? You got to learn these temporary things. You got to be, or is it, you got to learn the eternal things first. There might be some time left for temporary things. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with temporary things. It's the place they take in our heart. It's a place they take in our parenting, our dating, our friends, our banking, our giving, our lifestyle, our choices, priorities, in your schedule, or all the ones I missed. Which one of these do you treasure in your heart? We'll pick up there next week, but I want you to just honestly look at your heart. Now, once you look at your heart, and if you say, I am fairly temporary pleasure oriented, and you're content with that, stay there. Stay there. Okay, that's your choice. But there's a lot of wise people that came before you, and they tell you the end of it. But if you're thinking, I'm not content with that, and I'm not saying that you're all wrong in everything you do. I'm just saying once in a while we need to stop and say, what is in my heart? What motivates me? What in my heart changes my thinking? I keep thinking about this and this and this and this, and those things aren't right. And after a while you start to do it. It comes out in your actions. Treasures are very tricky because we all really like them. And temporary pleasures are really deceptive because we all really like temporary pleasures. Unless you're a sadist or something. But we all love temporary pleasures. But understand that that just leaves emptiness. And you move into eternity, maybe, with God. You'll move into eternity, everyone will. But have you stored up the kind of treasures that God's asking us to store up? Godliness with contentment. I think that's probably a really cool way to say it. Godliness, being like God, treasuring the thing he treasures. And I'm content if I lose a few worldly pleasures. But I'm content with the ones that I have. Doesn't mean you can't upgrade your house, no. We're looking at heart issues, right? Heart issues. What do you treasure? Temporary? Go ahead, close your eyes. Stop looking at me because I'm going to distract you. Honestly, just look in your heart. Look at your heart. Just for a moment. Just the simple, what do you treasure? Honestly, when you're looking at your schedule, what does your schedule show that you treasure? Your priorities, what do they show that you treasure? Your choices in life, what are they in lifestyle? What do they show that you treasure? Your banking, your credit card, what does your credit card show that you treasure? Your giving at church or with other people? Your lifestyle, your friends, your dating, your parenting suggestions, the things you permit as a parent, or whatever else God's speaking to you about. What does it show that you treasure? And if there's a little something lacking, a little too much emphasis on treasures, temporary treasures, I would probably talk to God right now. Pick out one of those areas and get rid of that treasure. If nothing else, to step up the pursuit of godly treasures. That's where we'll start next week. Lord Jesus, please speak to us. We want to make a difference in this world because this world is going to hell. the more of that world we can get, and the treasuring of the things in that world that we can get out of our lives, the better off we're going to be. And I pray that as we get into godly treasures, that we start to store up godly treasures, that we become men and women after God's own heart. Use us as a church. Purify us a little bit more today. Help us to change one area or two. You're an amazing God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.